Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, I suppose we were hoping that we'd be here this week celebrating Limerick's passage through to a Munster final. It wasn't to be. We finished the group with 5 points out of a possible 8, which is a very good haul considering, you know. And look, we're not dead and buried yet. We suffered a setback, that's for sure. I think the performance indicated a team that had just run out of gas, not scoring in the last 15 minutes plus, if I'm correct. But look, you know, Limerick are still in the championship, and I think if you'd given that choice to John Kiely at the start of the season, we know he said in the post match that he'd have taken the hand off you. So look, a long way to go in this yet. We still have Carlo or Westmeath coming up in a few weeks in the quarterfinal qualifier. Then it's probably going to be, if I had to guess on probability, Kilkenny as the losing Leinster finalists. And then, look, when you get to the last six of the All-Ireland Championship, you can't expect easy games. So regardless which way it's worked out for Limerick, you know, we were always going to be facing tough matches.
Yeah, that's correct, Raphael. I suppose at the start, if somebody said to you, before a ball was poked in the Munster Championship, if somebody had said to you, right, Limerick are going to win two games and draw one and end with 5 points, you'd be pretty confident and certainly very, very, very hopeful that that would be adequate to qualify for the Munster final. But alas, it wasn't, because Waterford picked up just 1 point and Tipperary only picked up 2. And I'm sure going forward that the table will be much, much, much closer than it was. But you're right, it was a very flat performance by Limerick, and I suppose it was the culmination. Like, there has to be something in this. When you look at the other counties, they all met this kind of a barrier when it came to the third game in a row, practically without exception. If you see Tipperary, actually, somebody might facetiously say that they met it every day, but they met it particularly on the third game, if you will recall, when they faced Waterford and just could not get out of the traps in the first half. Then you look at Waterford, they really struggled in the third game in a row against Limerick. They were just blown out of the water. Now Cork played Limerick in their third game in a row and were unable to take advantage of Limerick being a man down. And like Clare, and this is the look of the draw, Clare didn't have to play 3 games in a row, and you can see that they qualified for the Munster final. But I'm not offering that as an excuse. It was a flat performance by Limerick, disappointing obviously, and in front of a capacity crowd. But I suppose, if you're to look at it, if there was a day to lose, this may be it. You missed out on your Munster final place. But while you're to lose in a quarter final, it would be curtains. At least you're still there and still in there with a real good chance. There's a 3-week break now. I have no doubt that John Kiely will have the lads coming back. They will come back completely refreshed, refocused, and raring to go when they go to either Westmeath or Carlow. I actually think that the loss of Sean Finn as early as the 13th minute was an absolute huge loss to Limerick, and we had the circumstances of Tom Condon being sent off subsequent to that, and all that stuff. But it is probably one of the things that John Kiely and Limerick wouldn't have planned for, that they would have to rejig their defence as early as wasn't it the 12th minute, I think, 12th or 13th minute.
Matt, I'll put it to you that whatever about rejigging the defence, it threw the entire game plan out of kilter, because it left the game very unbalanced. I think Limerick struggled to know what to do with the extra space, and it just, they seemed to be conceding possession to Clare around the Clare half back line, and Clare seemed to have control of that space up until midfield, and I thought tactically Clare were excellent in how they used that space, but I definitely think that the sending off just, it really, really threw Limerick out of kilter more than it did Clare.
It did, and a sending off, and nobody likes to see a sending off, but it's a lot easier to rejig when you have a forward send off rather than a defender, and you really have to change things around when a defender is sent off. There's no doubt it was a difficult day for Limerick at the office. You're right, Clare adapted better, much better, Raphael, but certainly there was an element that there was a noticeable element of Limerick simply running out of gas. No question about it. That the three Sundays in a row, it definitely caught up with him. And I think John, to a degree, immediately after the game, I think he conceded that point that it was a factor. And look, they just got to go away now, regroup. With the under 21 semi final is on this week. There is seven of the squad involved in that. And look, there's a lot of hurling to be played yet, and I expect Limerick to bounce back. I expect them to get over the preliminary quarter final and drive on. Then it'll possibly be Kilkenny. You can never discount Kilkenny in a Leinster final. They've just made the Leinster final their own over the years. They've won it so often, but you would have to say that Galway will certainly be favourites going into the Leinster final, which would throw up a quarter final between Limerick and Kilkenny, and that certainly would be a game to look forward to. We went very close to Kilkenny last year down in Nolan Park. It'll be neutral venue this time, so I would fancy Limerick to get over the quarter final, the preliminary quarter final, and if it's Kilkenny, I would certainly fancy him to make it through to the semi final.
Yeah, Matt, I think we have to remember that Limerick ran Kilkenny fairly close. I think it was to 3 points down in Nolan Park last year, and Limerick had, but for some wayward shooting, I think in the first half in particular, Limerick could have been in an entirely different position had they been a bit sharper. You know, this is a Limerick side who are a lot further down the road this year than they were 12 months ago, against the Kilkenny side who I don't think have improved at the same rate. So you'd certainly give Limerick a decent chance if they were to. Look, obviously, we're not looking past we're going to take the John Kiely mantra and not look past the next game. But if they were to advance through that preliminary, you'd imagine that they'd have a really good crack off Kilkenny this time out.
Oh, yeah, sure. Limerick as a team has gone up several notches. They've played a lot of top quality hurling since. Division 1B is gone much more competitive. Like you had games in there against Dublin, and you had games against Galway. Won a great game down in Galway. Got two extra games in the league in the quarter final and semi final. Got four games in the Munster Championship. Limerick in terms of hurling are much further down the road. And more important still, much further down the road in terms of confidence. And I'm quite convinced that the little hiccup last Sunday will not dent that confidence in any way. I think it will only strengthen Limerick's determination and John Kiely's determination, like, to get back to winning ways as quickly as possible. And you know, in answer to your original question, Raphael, I think Limerick are much, much further down the road than they were 12 months ago. Where Kilkenny are, it is still hard to know. They went out of the Leinster Under 21 Championship on Wednesday evening to Galway, and there are a number of those players, I think three or four of them involved with the Kilkenny Singers, but certainly it's definitely a time of transition in Kilkenny. There's no doubt at all about that, and maybe tempting fate here, that winning the league for Galway this year, or for Kilkenny this year, may have been hardly a false dawn, but maybe a premature dawn of better things to come, and of a new Kilkenny. I think they have a bit of work to do. They have to go down the road a good bit further now, because to get back to the old days. But they will be still formidable in the Leinster final. But you would have to fancy Galway and down the road that they are upset, and Carlo, they're going to be competitive. They've had a good run now in the McDonagh Cup, and whichever one of them will emerge, they're going to be competitive, and they'll push Limerick, especially certainly on their own patch. But you would have to believe that that the new Limerick and that we have seen all this year, with the exception of last Sunday, that they would be able to get over it and probably set up, well, it could be Kilkenny or Galway in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, it certainly will. Matt, just one point of note there. We saw Liam Ahern on social media in the aftermath of that game criticising some of the abuse that was coming towards the Limerick GAA Facebook and Twitter accounts in the aftermath of the game. I think spineless, and some other adjectives used to describe some of the Limerick players and performance. Matt, totally out of line, and I think a lot of these people, whereas before they would have had the opportunity to maybe shout and roar at the television for a couple of minutes and that was it. Now they can direct their abuse towards an organisation or towards a player or towards somebody they think it will affect. And it's an uglier side to sport, and I suppose life in general at the moment, that people should really think before they type. Not the kind of support that this team needs. If you can't get behind the team, then get off the bandwagon is what I'd say to them, Matt. But unfortunately, just an element that we'd rather not see.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree totally with you, and I would like to compliment Liam for actually picking it up and highlighting it. This is an old failing in Limerick, and it's disgraceful. Like in one game, you can go from hero to villain. I don't think anybody has the right to sit down with their phone or sit down in front of their PC and post these sort of things about players. This thing is born completely out of ignorance of the amount of effort and work that everybody connected with the Limerick team, from John Kiley down to those that look after the jerseys and the water and whatever, and the players, the supreme effort and sacrifice that they make in the depths of winter, when the keyboard warriors who are criticising him are sitting snugly in front of their televisions. I think it's absolutely disgraceful, and we're going nowhere while we have this type of attitude. I think it's absolutely disgraceful, despicable, and it is total disrespect to a group of players and people and their mentors who put in such effort throughout the year in the depths of winter and put their lives on hold for our gratification. I think it is absolutely disgraceful, and there is no place whatsoever in the GAA family for the people that resort to that type of rhetoric and that type of stuff. It's absolutely despicable, and I you know, look, that's what I have to say about it. It just annoys me so much, seeing players and seeing people that put in such an effort on our behalf and for our gratification, to see him being treated and being vilified through those particular mediums. I think it's absolutely disgraceful, Raphael.
Yeah, Matt, look, you know, to put somebody down in 180 characters or whatever it is that Twitter allows, these people don't meet these players, they don't talk to the players, they don't talk to the management, they don't see the work that goes in behind the scenes, they don't see any of that. So, you know, maybe very, very easy to judge. Matt, just one other element to that match, just before
we just before we go off that point, that's just one element of it, but you're probably in the same position as I am, and Liam Ahern and Jerome McConnell, and we're meeting these people out on the street, and they're sending us texts and this sort of thing, criticizing players, criticizing management, criticizing selectors. Would those people just go away?
I totally agree with you on that one, Matt. And just one other element of the Limerick Clare game before we park it and consign it to history, where I'd like to erase it from my memory if I could. But the James Owens, the refereeing performance again, Matt. No arguing with the Tom Condon sending off. It was a red card. There's no qualms about that. The really red card. Bizarre, to say the least. You know, we saw pictures in the aftermath of the game as well of a clear helmet pull on Graham Mulcahy, where there was a clear grip of the face mask and the helmet being yanked off his head. So I don't know. There were some blatant fouls right in front of us in the press area in Cusack Park that we could see that the linesman was right in front of and that James Owens was no more than 20 yards away from. You know, I can understand letting the game go, but I thought that, you know, another below par performance from the Wexford men.
Yeah, you see, the game has gone so fast now. It has gone so fast, and right, you have the referee in the middle, and he is the centre of attention. And you know, we've been listening there for some time to arguments saying, which possibly at the pace of hurling at the minute, do you need two referees? But like, you have one referee, but the officiating at a game should be a team effort. You've got four umpires, you've got two linesmen. Like, and sometimes the fault may not be with the referee, because it happens so things happen so fast. Referees have to be super. I am loath to criticise the referees. There's a certain element in Limerick that seemed to have an issue with Mr. Owens for whatever reason. I suppose this will add to it. Now he has sent off two Limerick players during the course of the Munster Championship. Now it was he sent off Aaron Gillan in Cork, and now he has sent off Tom Condon, and he has, for some reason, become a bit of persona non grata as far as Limerick are concerned, which is probably, I think, a bit unfair. And you know, this thing of focusing on the referee and what the referee should have done and should not have done. If you do that, and certainly if you do that, if team connections do that, they certainly can't have their mind on what they should be doing, you know. Now, we didn't hear any criticism, I don't think, from John Kiley on it. Look, we cannot have our games without referees. And I get back to it again, because hurling is played at such a pace now, and players have got so adept to striking the ball at long, long distances, that and the difficulty and the fitness that a referee needs to keep up with play, it more and more there should be involvement of the linesmen and the umpires. Now I understand one of the umpires was involved in the sending off of David Reedy, whatever he saw, but I think there should be more involvement, that it should be a greater team effort rather than all the focus on the man in the middle. He will ultimately make the final decision. And on that as well, we had the Shane Dowling incident at the very beginning, Raphael, when he struck a free that appeared from where we were to have gone over the bar, it was waved wide. That raises a bigger, much bigger question, and it raises the question of whether, you know, it's not a level playing field if you have Munster and Leinster championships games played at venues, in some cases where there is hockey available, and in others where it's not available. It's not a level playing field unless we can have everything even and the same for everybody in every game.
And I suppose, look, not criticising the referee as such with regards to the red cards, I don't think anyone could argue that the Gillan and the Condon cards were red and that there's no qualms there. But I think the general refereeing of it has been a bit below par and certainly not what you'd expect. But there's also a case too that maybe the umpire, like if you think of it, there are two linesmen, the referee, and four umpires. That's seven people with eyes on the game. I think if there was a bit more connectivity, if there was an earpiece connection between the seven of them, that they could help, you know, without having too much chatter in the referee's ear, but that there could be attention brought to the referee of incidents that, you know, immediately the attention of the referee could be brought to incidents that were going on in the pitch. And maybe that would require a bit extra training for referees, a bit extra training for umpires in particular. Then you might cut out a lot of the nonsense that goes on off the ball. You might cut out a lot of the stuff that goes unpunished, and you might improve the game.
Yeah, I agree totally with you, Raphael, and that's my point at the outset, that you need a greater team effort on the part of the seven people that are entrusted with taking charge of big games. No question at all about that. And as I say, and I'll repeat it again at the risk of being repetitive, I think a certain element of the Limerick support in particular anyway have an issue with Mr. Owens, and I think it's unfortunate and it's unwarranted. You know, at the risk of being accused of being parochial, probably the best referee in the panel at the moment, we can never have him because he's one of our own, Johnny Murphy, who doesn't ever seem to become embroiled in any of this kind of stuff. But look, it's part of the game, but it's something that just as the scheduling of the provincial championships need a little bit of tweaking. I think that there needs to be a very, very firm look at the team effort of referees. Now, I know in recent years there has been greater team effort on the part of the seven officials, but to what level do you have to bring it? It's there's so much riding on the games at the moment. There's so much at stake under the new format, as indeed there was under the old format. But now it is hurling. Hurling is really has got a fillip with the new format. Hurling is big business now. You can see big crowds, exciting games. It's the place to be now. Is at hurling games, and like anything that can do to ensure that there's fair play and equity and, you know, even-handed application of the rules would be very welcome. Not that I think for one minute that any referee goes out to make a mistake, goes out to do any team. I just think it's the level of fitness that's required now for the game of hurling. It's played at such an extraordinary pace.
It certainly is, Matt. I suppose moving on from Limerick and Clare, we had the Camogie match between
Well, before we move from Limerick and Clare, what about our minors? Hats off to them.
Yeah, Matt. a late show, but it was enough to see their passage through to a Munster final.
It was absolutely, and they started very slowly and tentatively, and got themselves into the game and seem to lose their way a bit coming up to half time. And then that goal by Cormac Ryan, like he's the goal king of the minor team. That's his third goal in the campaign. He got goals against Tipperary, Cork, and now against Clare. Waterford were the only ones that shut him out. But overall, it was a tremendous performance. They just dug deep again, and you know it was a game when you look back in it. A terrific second half, absolutely tremendous second half. Which the outcome was on a knife edge, Raphael, right throughout, as you will recall. But some stunning performances there by Limerick when leaders were needed there in the second half. Cathal O'Neill, we all know what he can do. Another excellent performance.
I thought Bob Purcell was superb.
Yeah.
And this guy, for anyone who hasn't seen the minors this year, this guy wouldn't be out of place in the senior team from the fact of his sheer physical size. He is huge, but you know he's physical, he's mobile, and he's able to take his scores. A real, real prospect.
Yeah, I was just coming there to just saying, what about the performance of Bob Purcell? Now I saw this guy at first hand. Actually, you were there the same evening, if you will recall. In the county premier under 21 final against Kilmallock in the Gaelic grounds, and he proved very difficult for Kilmallock in the first half to handle now, and I have heard since that he had an absolutely outstanding game against Napiershig in the semi final of that competition. You must remember he was playing 4 years above his age at this stage. Because the guy is under 17, it's hard to believe it. He's such a huge man, but he has such use of himself, and he has such a suite of skills. His performance to score 6 points from play in what was effectively a Munster Minor Hurling Championship semi-final, an absolutely incredible performance. But he obviously benefited from. Being moved from, and it was a masterstroke by Anton Power and his selectors to move him out into the half forward line. Obviously, he wasn't getting on enough ball inside on the edge of the square at full forward when it was kind of crowded out there. But a guy like him that can hit the ball from distance and hit it effectively and score from distance, as he proved last Sunday. Like bringing him out to the half-forward line, giving him more freedom, giving him more space, it worked a treat, Raphael. It absolutely worked a treat, and it was you know, certainly his performance was my highlight of the weekend. Certainly, I thought he was absolutely tremendous. Now, but you see, we tend to focus in on forwards. When you win a big game and close out a big game, and yes, they get the important points and the important scores. But again, we must focus again and say hats off to the Limerick defence. There are some very, very good defenders in that team. Now, Emmett McAvoy was immense again, absolutely immense. And the point he scored there in injury time, I think it was a leveler, but it was a crucial, it was an inspirational score. You had Ben Herlihy taking the ball off the line. You had the catches of Owen O'Mahony in the half-back line and the long clearances. You had again another tremendous performance at cornerback by Patrick Hartnett. Like, because this was a very, very good player attack. They had, you know, this lad Guiler who got the 9 points. You had Mark Rogers. Is it 7 goals he has got in the Munster Championship?
Yeah, no, two against Limerick anyway.
He got 2 against Limerick to bring in his tally to 7. But you would have to say overall that the Limerick defence, they kept him very, very quiet. Now Robin Mounts at centre forward, a very, very good player. But the Limerick defence, they really tied him up when it mattered. And certainly our two midfielders, which of course are of great hurling stock. You have Patrick Kirby, the son of Gary Kirby, and Barry O'Connor, the son of Ali O'Connor. Like, they put in a huge energetic performance at midfield, and both chipped in with vital points at vital times. Overall, it was a great team performance. But, you know, it would be remiss not to highlight the performance of Bob Purcell. And I suppose at this stage, like, getting Cahal O'Neill has lit up the Munster Minor Hurling Championship, in my view.
And yeah, we shouldn't forget that Cahal O'Neill is only 16 as well, Matt. So we're
he's only 16, and the guy, like, he's so consistent, and the way he can just walk up there, those long range frees and the 65s, the confident way he can walk up to him. But look, finding the target and hitting frees is only a part of what Cahal O'Neill is about. His work rate around the field is absolutely tremendous, and in his ability to get on the ball, to win it, and appreciation of when others are in better positions than him, and picking him out, overall an excellent player. They go to Turles. They will probably be underdogs going to Turles. Tipperary will have a score to settle with him. Tipperary were the pre-competition favourites. Now, they really only got into the final by the skin of their teeth. They will be hard to beat, but if Tipperary are hard to beat, Limerick will be damn hard to beat.
That's for sure, Matt. I suppose going back 24 hours previous to that, the Camogie, an 8 points apiece draw with Clare, far from a classic, Matt. It keeps Limerick still in the hunt, but puts massive pressure now on the Waterford game. And you know, if results don't go their way, they could be going into the Galway match, knowing to carry something, needing to take something from that as well.
Well, the Galway match is on Saturday week, and they have to take something off them, off the Galway match. Now, Galway are sitting pretty on 4 points. Now, Kilkenny have only 2 points in that group because Kilkenny have only played one game. Now, I think at this stage it's nearly a foregone conclusion, without jumping to conclusions, that Kilkenny and Galway are going to get two of the knockout places out of three. So the subplot to all this is that there's going to be a mini scramble within the group between Clare, Waterford and Limerick. And those three games, Limerick and Clare, Limerick and Waterford, Clare and Waterford, they're the three teams, they're obviously the three games that will determine who joins Kilkenny and Waterford in the knockout stages. That's if there isn't a huge surprise somewhere along the line, which Limerick are capable on their day of possibly delivering it. So, like, Limerick and Clare have drawn now, so we're none the wiser after last Saturday as to where that third place might go, or to where a place in the knockout stages. We might be jumping the gun even by saying this, but from this remove, that looks to be the configuration of what's going to happen. It was a very, very disappointing game by all accounts last Saturday in Six Mile Bridge. I was talking to both John Reddington and Joel Statley, who were there, and they were at one in saying that it was a very, very disappointing game. 8 points apiece would suggest that. The underlying statistic would absolutely confirm that, in that Limerick got 6 points from Niamh Mackay, from Freeze, I think, and Clare got five. I think that was it. I think Niamh got six, and Clare, Chloe Morey got five for Clare. A poor game by all accounts. I suppose if there's a positive to be taken out of it, it is that Limerick didn't lose the game. Because they were on a poor run now, like they were on a run where they had met They had lost to Cork in the league, they had lost to Tipperary in the Munster semi-final in the rag, and they had lost to Kilkenny in the opening round. And it was terribly important that they arrest that losing sequence. So if, from that point of view, that's a positive. I suppose it's a disappointment that they I think they were on top towards the finish, when maybe they could have sneaked the win. An extra point at this point would be hugely, hugely important, because I think it has come to the stage that this Limerick team, in their development, and that they need to make that breakthrough in the championship, get through to at least the quarterfinals. And certainly they have a lot of work to do now. 1 point from four leaves a lot of work to do. Facing Galway in the next round, I understand it's more likely to be on in Brough on Saturday week. And then they have a tricky trip to Waterford, which will probably be to WIT, where I think Waterford play most of their home games. So it's certainly not going to be easy. They've left themselves some work to do.
Yeah, they certainly have. Matt, the Liddy footballers, the Munster Intermediate Championship, it was basically an intermediate and a senior team when they came up against Clare on Sunday morning last. And I suppose the gap in standards really did shine through in the end, Clare with an easy win.
It was, and, you know, I sometimes wonder about what the benefit of this type of competition is, pitting a team that's competing in the at junior level against a team that's one of the strong intermediate teams in ladies football, Clare, in what is kind of a Munster final, fulfilling a kind of a fixture. I don't know what purpose that serves. Maybe. Obviously, John Ryan had an opportunity to benchmark his players and see exactly where they are, and certainly it filled in a void since the loss to Louth in the league semi-final, in that they have been, I have no doubt they have been pretty busy behind the scenes, but it gave them what should have been a good competitive game. But again, you know, just having a Munster final for the sake of Munster final, creating a David and a Goliath situation, I'm not so sure as to what purpose that fills or fulfills. Limerick are preparing, of course, at presently for their first championship game, which is in mid-July. I think it's around the 15th of July. I'm subject to correction on that. I think it's Sunday the 15th or Saturday the 14th of July, when they make a long, long trip to Derry in the first round of the junior championship. And of course they played Derry in the league. I saw it out in Estaten earlier on this year, and they were comprehensive winners over Derry on that occasion. But speaking to John Ryan informally in the last 10 days, he was just saying to me that he was reading absolutely nothing into that Derry will be a totally different opposition when they travel north, and it will be this thing, the league and the championship. The league is one thing, the championship is something else. But what he will have learned from last Sunday in Clare Castle, I suspect very little, but at least it will be a competitive game, and like the focus now is on Derry in mid July.
Yeah, it should be really, really. I suppose that's what they really need to focus on now, is to trying to get a decent championship campaign behind them, Matt. I suppose.
Yeah, well, they need to build. They need to build on the. Now, the league campaign ended up disappointing in that they lost to Louth in the semi final, who lost to Wicklow in the final. But they need to get a good championship run and look, have a serious attempt and a serious shot, which they're quite capable of winning that junior championship. And it would be a major boost for Limerick ladies football if they were to win the junior championship, or at least get a good run on it, because they've been building their team. They have been building them through the league. Got a decent run. Got a number of decent results. And a win against Derry would certainly kick off possibly a championship bid.
Yeah, it certainly would. Matt, moving on, we had the under-20s who suffered a heavy defeat to Clare in Newcastle West last Friday evening. Matt, not a great vintage year for Limerick football.
No, and we have visited this particular subject on this forum over the last 2 weeks, and singly of what we have been discussing, it's the matter that I've got the most reaction to. And it's at the stage now whereby sitting around and doing nothing is not an option. And I've been advocating for some time, and I have written about it and I've spoken here about it, that it's time that the stakeholders and those that are interested in football come together. And I have nothing at all against the present football committee, but what I have against them is the way it has been constituted. You cannot select a committee. I think you need to be elected. And I think the football clubs need to get together and take ownership of that, and take ownership. Let's have a board that let them be subservient to the county board, but let's have a board that will focus in on football, and a board that will have a certain amount of teeth, because certainly I feel that the present football committee, through no fault of their own, it's because of the system that they lack teeth, and it was so disappointing and so disheartening in Newcastle West last Friday evening. Now, having said that, you two things you would have to say. Limerick came up against an extraordinarily Kerry team, an exceptionally very good Kerry team, although sources in Cork tell me that they firmly believe that they will beat them. Should they meet in the Munster final, and the two semi-finals are on this Friday, because Kerry will entertain Waterford and Cork will entertain Clare. But having said that, I will see that. I'll believe that when I see it, because I thought they were an exceptional team, and you could only just imagine what sort of a team they would be if they had Sean O'Shea and David Clifford, who were precluded from playing because of the new rule on this under-20 that you can't play senior and under-20. But the second thing I would have to say, and talking to Martin Horgan, who was the manager before and afterwards, there was no stone left unturned in the preparation of the team. And you would have to say, from what we saw there in Newcastle West on Friday evening, was that the boys that went out and represented Limerick, they left it all on the field. But the real problem is that there is, it's no longer a gap between the haves and the have-nots, the top teams and the bottom, the top counties and the bottom counties in football. It's now a chasm. And it gave us a sense of the huge gap, as if we didn't know, because Mayo showed us, and I suppose Clare showed us in the senior football, the ground that we have got to make up. So we really need to get together. We really need to have a meeting of all the stakeholders of football in the county. And I think that we should put a board in place designated to now, maybe the same people could get elected, no harm about that. But we need to change the football that can focus, because there's so much going on in county boards at the moment, and there's so much involvement with Limerick at senior, minor, under 21 hurling, and you have a whole plethora of different county championships, leagues, competitions that have to be got through. And I certainly would like to see a group there, see a board elected there, with a bit of teeth that can look after our football in the county. Now, there are great football clubs in our county. There are great football people all over this county, and it's we owe to them. We owe to him not to let him to be forgotten, because this is what's happening at the moment. And certainly the performance of the hurling on all three fronts this year has overshadowed the footballers. And all right, we've had difficult days with the seniors this year, difficult evening with the under-21s the other evening. Now, the minors, I thought, were competitive, and I thought were desperately unlucky not to have beaten Tipperary and at least reached the provincial semi-final. They were only beaten after extra time, and I thought there was a lot of encouraging signs in Newcastle West that evening against Tipperary. And these would be the younger crew, the under-17s. So, like, there's a lot of work ahead of us, but sitting on it, doing nothing, is not an option. And waiting until the autumn, or waiting until convention, or any of that sort of stuff, is not an option. The stakeholders, the people that want to promote football in the county, have to grasp it at this stage, because and put structures in place. We cannot have a repeat of what happened this year now. And like Billy Lee faced a huge problem this year with players not wanting to commit themselves to the county team, and with the performances this year, he certainly could be facing a repetition of that come the coming winter. That the players just will not want to commit, and I think that's very, very disappointing. We have to create a climate where people want to play for Limerick again, and put the structures in place, give football its rightful position within the county, because we're disenfranchising an awful lot of GA people that have football as their first love. And I think we should respect that diversity and put in place structures to deal with football in our county.
Perfect, Matt. Finally, Matt, it's Thursday. The team has been announced for the under-21 Munster semi-final tonight. A win will not only see Limerick through to the Munster final, but also to an All-Ireland semi-final, owing to the new structure with Antrim and Galway both now playing in the Leinster Championship. So a massive night in extending the under-21 season. And when you looked around to the members of that team, the likes of Seamus Flanagan, you've got Kyle Hayes as captain, and plenty others from the senior panel. It really shows the strength and depth, and I suppose if anything, it reiterates the youth in the Limerick setup.
It does. There are seven of the panel of the senior panel on. Tipperary have four of their senior panel. It's a huge game, because you're guaranteed at least to be hurling until the August bank holiday weekend if you win this evening. And Cork, Galway and Wexford are already through. Last night Dublin fell, Kilkenny fell, and Waterford fell, but Waterford put up a fair fight against Cork down in Parky Cleeve. It's a huge game for Limerick, and we'll be looking to the Kyle Hayes and the Seamus Flanagans to pick it up again from last Sunday and go again. Now, it's a Tipperary team that will be very, very difficult to beat. Now, Liam Cahill has taken over as manager of Tipperary. He was manager of the minor team that beat Limerick three times in the championship in 2015, 2016, in both Munster finals and in the All Ireland final 2016. He has named 12 of the side of the 2016 minor side. He's named 12 of them on the starting 15 this evening. So, like, this is a Tipperary team that know each other very well, that there is a certain element of continuity both in management and on the field. It's going to be a difficult task. We learned 2 years ago, we went to Tipperary as champions. We beat Cork away in the first round, went to Tipperary pretty confidently for round two, and lost out to Tipperary in Turles. We're going in similar circumstances this time, in that we've beaten Clare in the first round, and now we're off to Tip again. It's going to be difficult. I'm very hopeful that Limerick will do it. Now, obviously, Pat Donnelly and his backroom team weren't quite happy with what they saw, obviously, in the first game, in so far as that they have made four changes to the side that started against Clare. Now, one of them was to be expected anyway, that Peter Casey would come back into the reckoning now that he's fit again, and what a huge boost to Limerick his return will be. It's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be one of those games that will be edge of the seat stuff. I think there's a certain momentum with Limerick, and I think they'll just about do it.
I was going to ask if that green mist had receded from your part of Limerick, but obviously that was a pointless question. I think that kind of about wraps it up for us for today. But on a finishing note, I think any of the Limerick supporters who were critical of that team last Sunday would do well to remember that there's supporters from Dublin, from Waterford, from Tipperary, from Offaly, that would gladly swap places with Limerick supporters right now. All's not lost, and we still have a way to run in this year's championship.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And they would gladly swap positions and swap places. And like I would say to those people that, look, the energy that they're expending, criticizing and writing critical comments, would they use the same energy to get behind the team? Ooh.